Life meets University Union.
The sound of students in Leeds. This is Leeds Student Radio.
My name is Dominic Moffat, reporting for Leeds Student Radio, and I'm stood here with Frank Hero from Frank Hero and the celebration at Leeds Festival. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
If we wait, it might be too late. We'll make everybody cry.
Well, I wanted to ask you first of all, how did sort of Frank Hero and the celebration start after the breakup of My Chemical Romance?
Yeah. Well, it started later. I was doing a band called Death Spells with my friend James.
Okay.
We were recording and we did some touring on that, and then James also has a band called Reggie and the Full Effect. So he wanted to do that record. He went away for a little while, so like Death Spells were on hiatus, and. Just so happened at that time I was, you know, feeling like shit and just ended up turning that into songs.
Yeah.
I wrote a bunch of songs, and a friend of mine by the name of Matt Galley, who's been my booking agent for a million years,
yeah.
called me up and was like, "Hey man, what have you been up to? Like, you know, you have anything to play me or anything?" And I was like, "Yeah, well, I've been doing this thing on my own and writing some songs." And before I knew it, I had a record deal and I was putting the band together to do it.
Was that kind of a push? Did you feel like you really needed to make music, or was it just something that kind of happened naturally? Or
I thought for a while that my creative side and like real life were separate.
Right.
But I found out that they're not.
Right, okay.
I found out that in order to, you know, to kind of be like the person I want to be, I need to be satisfied creatively. Like, it's that craziness is what keeps me sane.
Right, okay. You know? So it's the balance.
Yeah, you know, and so... That's what I did. When I felt terrible, I would just go down and create, and it was just, you know, I just needed to make things. I needed to stay creative. I needed, in order to like regain any kind of semblance of myself. And before, I never expected to play it for anybody or do anything like that.
Right.
But once that happened, it was like, oh man, I guess this is the road we're taking.
Yeah. On a small side note, I know you're in a side project called Leathermouth.
Before. Yeah, yeah.
So are you still with Leathermouth now, or is that kind of something that's gone?
Yeah, it was one of those things where friends of mine had started a band, and they were looking for a singer. They had this kid who was another friend of theirs. Didn't work out,
yeah. And
they were just going to hold it. And I really liked the music they were writing, so I was like, all right, well, I'll tell you what, like, give me a try, and we'll see if we can do something.
Right.
And so we just started the band together. I wrote some lyrics, and before we knew it, put out a record on Epitaph, and then as soon as the record like was getting to come out, like the guys quit.
Right, okay.
so it was just me, so then I put some friends together to actually just tour the record, and that was it. So it was very fun. I love that band, I love that record. But if I'm going to do it on my own, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Being in Leathermouth, did that help you to kind of like understand to be a frontman now as part of your solo project?
It's so different. You know, it's weird. And this sounds strange, but calling a band something, having a band name, is something else to hide behind.
Right.
You know, and that's nice. It's like another barrier. But when you call it, when it's your name, it's that much more awkward.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, maybe it helped a little bit, but probably not that much.
Right.
This is so completely unique to a solo situation that I don't think there's any preparing for until you actually just do it, you know, and then realize if you like it or not.
You released your debut album last year, Stomach Aches.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? Tell us, you know, the idea behind it.
It's a collection of songs that I wrote and recorded in my basement. I was going through a pretty like bad physical health problem
right.
time, and I didn't want to kind of curl up and die. I wanted to kind of show my kids that you could turn a negative into a positive. So I ended up, you know, forcing myself to write music every time I felt sick. And before I knew it, I had like, you know, 15, 20 songs. And like I said before, you know, a friend of mine called me up, asked what I'd been up to, and then ended up getting a record deal. It was kind of
awesome.
Nuts. Yeah.
Personally, my favorite song is Joyriding. It's the first time I heard of you.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, why did you release that song first, and can you tell me about Joyriding?
Yeah. I was talking to a guy by the name of Sam, works for Kerrang, and we were discussing the immediacy of art and how if you create something and wait on it for too long, you're going to end up hating it and never show it to anybody. And so that night we got off the phone, we were talking about that kind of thing, and I was like, oh, it might be, it would be really fun to just write something, record it, and put it out. And that was kind of the dare I set for myself. And like, I think a couple of days later, I put up Joyriding, and and that was it was weird.
So has that kind of helped you? Does that mean that you now kind of don't think about them as much because they're out there and it's kind of, you know, they're done now? So
yeah, well, now that they're out there, you have to let go. You know what I mean? I think once you show it to somebody, you kind of relinquish the control.
Right.
You know, and that's a freeing and terrifying thought. You know, but it's something I wanted to try, and I'm glad it happened because that's definitely a song I can still look back on and be like, I'm still happy with the way that that happened.
Is it fair to say with your kind of experience of writing in Leeds, I mean, you've had some hairy times here, you've had some good, really good times. Is it fair to say you're kind of more prepared than other bands? Or?
I don't know about that. Here's the thing, like, you know, every show you play is different. You know, every crowd you play to is different and unique, and you never know what to expect, you know? You just show up and hope there's other people there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really about it.
All right, I thought we'd finish with a couple of funny ones. Right. If you had an unlimited rider the rest of your life, the rest of your touring life,
uh-huh,
so unlimited amounts of money, what would you get?
Oh man, Bouncy Castle.
Bouncy Castle. Do you know what? I've had that one before. Actually.
Yeah,
that is a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah,
I feel like everybody would get hurt. I think everybody would really get hurt. I don't know. Probably soda. I like soda.